Martin Edwards. He's here with me now. Hello, Martin. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
You've got to talk a little bit closer to the mic.
All right, okay.
Otherwise, you sound like you're in a box, unfortunately.
Right. Oh, Could have been.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for coming in. You are a very, very, very interesting man. We'll start with the fact that you like to do good by people. You've got a wonderful
Absolutely.
Heart. You've got a wonderful heart. This is the man that decided he's going to donate to the local co-op in Shenfield money for the NHS and care workers to get free shopping, to say thank you for a lovely job and a great job you're doing in such an adverse time. And he was known as the mysterious donator. But then he came out and let everybody know he was, and that's all over now. He's done his thing for that. But this man is now in the studio to talk to me about a book. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
You've written a book about your time in the Special Forces.
Yep.
And struggles with mental health.
Yep.
And I think anything to do with mental health, because it seems to have come out a lot more in the last 10, 15 years. People talk about mental health more. People realise that somebody's doing that because this has happened. Not, well, they were born like that. It's not like that anymore. And you've written this book. And all the proceeds for the book are going to a couple of mental health charities.
Military Mental Health.
Yeah.
And Vulnerable Children.
Right, which is wonderful.
Which are very dear to my heart.
That's a couple of absolutely wonderful causes. So, the book. What made you decide to write it?
My son, my children, friends. I get called Uncle Albert because I tell war stories.
When I was in the war.
Yeah. And even wore an Uncle Albert mask to do my speech for my daughter Sean's wedding, which went down like a bomb.
I was on this minesweeper with a broom.
And so everyone kept saying, you should write a book.
Right.
So when I sold my company and I retired,
yeah,
I decided to start.
Can I ask you what you did?
I owned a security company called Ultimate Security.
Right. And what was that entail? Was it private security, famous people, or just...
No. I did the close protection privately on my own before I started the company.
Right.
I started the company in 99.
Right.
And it was all the large buildings in London.
Okay.
Shard, Tower 42, City Point.
Right.
I employed 2,500 people.
Wow.
£80 million turnover.
You must have seen a lot of changes, though, in security over the years.
We changed it.
You changed it?
Yeah, we were unique.
Oh, that's good.
Because we looked after our people.
But were you one of the people that instigated that security people needed badges and stuff?
Because not the licences. That was the curse of all of us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We were already doing all that.
Right.
And then got charged £250 a head.
So you had your own identification.
Yeah, we had to. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah. But we were great. Yeah. And when I sold, I gave 25% to my staff.
Oh, wow. See, as I said, you have a good heart. You've got a very, very big heart.
Yeah.
You're a caring man. But you've had a hard upbringing, and also you didn't have it too easy in joining the forces, did you, start with?
No.
So it was a bit rough.
Well, my childhood was bad.
Right.
I was beaten regularly.
Right, oh.
Drawing blood sometimes with a fishing rod.
Oh, this your parents.
The silly stuff. Yeah.
Right.
And up until I started writing the book, I thought my mother was sort of innocent of all this. But as the stories came out and the memories came, because these memories have been
suppressed,
locked away for almost half a century.
Wow.
And, you know, to be told to wait in a parlour, cold, for 8 hours till your father came home.
No, it's...
Knowing, at the age of 6, 7, knowing what's coming wasn't good.
No.
So she was complicit at the very least.
Yeah.
Bullying was another huge thing at school.
You got bullied?
Yeah.
So were you not always a big chap?
I was bullied because I got persuaded by my teacher to grass on somebody nicking stuff out the changing rooms. And it went to court, and my name got read out. And I was a target for the next 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Anybody.
Oh.
Even my brother wouldn't speak to me.
No.
No.
Oh.
So, at the age of 12...
Yeah.
I tried to commit suicide.
Oh, God.
With paracetamol and brandy in school.
In school you did it?
Yeah.
And obviously... But
I went to the toilets to do it, and... Somebody obviously thought, well, he's been gone a long time, so they found me and took me to hospital.
Wow.
And then they... And pumped me with sour milk, which wasn't very pleasant.
They poured it down your throat or pumped it in?
And guess what my father did when he got me home?
Beat you up.
Absolutely. Embarrassed him.
Oh, wow. Not, see that it's different times.
Yeah, totally.
Different times. Today, you know, people would say, hang on a minute, why did he do that? What was the reason behind that? He needs some help. But no, was it a northern upbringing you had?
No, it was an Eddie Edwards upbringing. He was a one-off,
right.
I'm afraid. He did the same to my dog, lovely Doberman.
Yeah.
Called Zelda. He used to beat her with a fishing rod
until
she bled. I used to get in the bath and the water used to go pink. It wasn't nice, but you accepted it. And my wife, who was probably the only ones I've confided totally in.
Yeah.
And without whom I probably wouldn't be here anyway. Actually confronted her about 4 years ago.
Wow.
And she said, that's what happened then. That's what happened to everybody. And she just said, no, it didn't. I had a hard upbringing, but not that.
No.
And we don't know anyone else that's had that.
No.
So it was a one-off, unfortunately, and I was the one-off.
Sounds like you had Victorian values, because it seems like you read stories of Victorian fathers doing that more than...
Well, he didn't drink.
No, no. Victorian fathers just, didn't, did they?
A control freak.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did that affect you later on? You left home?
Yeah, absolutely.
What age?
15 and a half.
And...
I had aspirations of being an art teacher or an artist because I'm really good.
Are you still like drawing?
No.
No, you haven't taken up painting?
I like art.
You haven't taken up painting in your retirement?
Absolutely not. You wouldn't want to see what I'd paint. No, I haven't, no.
Right.
My uncle, who I must mention, Peter, he died 2 years ago, and he was my go-to. He didn't know what was happening, but he looked
Was it your paternal uncle or your maternal uncle?
Maternal.
Right, okay.
And he was a very famous graphic designer for the BBC.
Oh, wow.
And he was gay. And he had a partner, Andrew, which, again, I think at that time was probably illegal out of the forces.
Yeah. 67 it became legal, I think. Well, when I say legal, you couldn't get arrested for it in 67.
Probably just legal in
55,
6 to 12. Yeah, I was going to him when I was 13, 14.
Yeah.
And he was just my solace, really. It was my haven to go to.
Yeah.
And I told him about what Dad did probably 2 years before he died.
Wow.
And he cried. He didn't know. He said, why didn't you tell me? I said, because you were my haven. I didn't want to spoil it, really. So, yeah.
So you lived with him for a couple of years?
No. No, just visit.
Oh, okay.
No.
So you left home, you would join the Army?
The Royal Marines. Yeah.
They, if you don't mind me saying, they are a hard bunch of chaps.
Yep.
So is that where you wanted to go, or is that where you were directed? You went to sign up and they said, we'll have you in the Marines, sonny.
Because I had O-levels.
Yeah.
Even without... revising or wanting to do it.
So you're a clever man, really.
Yeah, I guess I'm bright.
Yeah.
I went to join as an officer in the Navy.
Right.
I was sat in the recruiting office and this great big Royal Marine came up and said, how about a life in the Royal Marine Commandos? I said, well, I thought you had to be picked for that. He said, I'm picking you.
So did you have a love of the sea then, a love of water?
I was a sea cadet for years.
Okay, so there is an underlying fact to getting onto that. Yeah. Okay, and all that's in the book?
Yeah.
Good. So you joined the Marines.
Junior Marine in Kent.
Yeah.
In Kent. And the abuse continued.
Yeah.
The abuse continued for the next 2 years till I decided that my very famous now red mist came down and it stopped
right
forever.
So you had a bit of a what's the word, breakdown? Would they class that as, or
no? I broke somebody because I was sick of it. I had enough.
No, of course. The body can only take so much as you go. Yep. I've had enough of this.
Yeah, and I wasn't. Because when I look back, I was never in a good place.
Right.
Because I don't like to call it mental health, but the sadness was always there.
Yeah.
And I've got sadness, happiness, and rage. And if you want to call it mental health, you can.
Yeah.
I think I'm just wired wrong.
Well, I don't think you were wired wrong. I think you. It was beat into you. That was what didn't adjust the wiring. It broke the wiring.
Yeah.
I think that's what it sounds more like. It broke your wiring, yeah. And your wiring needed to be repaired or replaced, as they say, from a repairman's point of view. Yeah. I think.
Teresa's a brilliant electrician.
There you go. Is that the good lady?
Yeah.
Hello, Teresa.
Granddaughter. She's my cure.
Bless. Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. See, we were talking Dobermans, and as I said to you, we had a Doberman, and she was sweet as sugar. I mean, you see her walking down the street, you would brick your pants.
Yeah, absolutely.
You would. Yeah, yeah. But she was sweet as sugar.
What people think about me.
I can see why. But you're a lovely man.
I am.
And you have to learn
but
in this world.
You.
No, thank you. Well, she didn't lick me. She licked me toes. I got a video. She used to love licking me toes. She got out one day. I shouted at her because she'd done something wrong. I just went, and I opened the front door and she ran.
Yeah.
And I was just going out to do a gig. I'm in a dinner suit, right? I've gone round the streets and managed to get her and bring her back. She wasn't upset or anything. She just bolted, bless her. She came back and I made a big fuss of her. It was funny, but I don't even know what the point I was making.
I don't know.
Oh yes, as she was running along, people were pulling their kids in their houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going, see, to come back, baby, come back, come back. She's running along. There's a big dog. But it's not what's outside. I've learnt this in my 54 years on this planet. I've learnt it's not what's outside. It's what's inside that counts.
Yeah.
And you, sir, have a very good heart. You haven't said it, but I know you're a clever man. You've been wronged in so many ways, and that is unfortunate. But you've found solace. You found a partner that has changed you around. Your family has brought you into being, for want of a better word, a normal person and a happier person. No, you know what I mean.
Well, if you met anyone that knows me, they'll say normal.
More normal than you were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're not throwing.
I fight.
You're not throwing chairs at people. I'm digging myself a hole here, Martin.
I have been known. Yes, no.
Not like you were. No. Not like you were when you had the episode in the Marines.
I still.
Well, the anger's still there. Yep. It doesn't all come out.
No,
it doesn't
it's
all come
diluted
out.
Diluted a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not as you were.
No.
So let's move from the.
We're quickly moving on.
Yeah, moving on from the Marines. Yeah. You got recruited into Special Forces.
Yeah,
which
I think the reason was because of the siege of the ship.
Right.
Because
no one could get near you. You were just.
Well, no, I think they thought I was the right sort of mentality to go in Special Forces.
Yeah. That's.
We talked about the siege, haven't we?
Yeah. No, we haven't on the radio, just you and I have.
Right, okay.
Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Well, I don't want to spoil the book.
No, don't spoil the book. We're just covering the topics.
Right.
So people will go and buy the book.
Right, the siege was when I single-handedly held a HMS warship to siege for 24 hours.
There you go. That is a mean feat.
It is mean.
It is. That is a mean feat,
It's hilarious.
If you want to find out what actually happened, you've got to buy the book. It's as simple as that.
I don't know what chapter it is.
But they've got to read the whole thing. You've got to read the whole thing. You can't go to the end and go, the butler did it. It's not one of those books. You get to the end and go, oh, Martin Edwards did it. So you joined the Special Forces.
Yep.
You left the Special Forces.
Yep.
At what year?
I joined in 75.
Right. So, and that must have took you, what, around the world, or did they keep you over here?
No. We were recruited for a special unit.
Right.
Which was undercover in Northern Ireland.
At the time of the big IRA hoo-ha.
76, 78, is right. When I served, which was the height of the Troubles.
Yeah.
And I was based in Derry.
Right.
And I was picked for my good looks.
Yeah.
And that's serious, because yeah. I looked like a gypsy, a Romany.
Oh, right, you had long hair.
Derry was full of Romanys.
You had long hair and...
A beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pictures are all in the book.
Lovely.
I served 2 years out then. Like I say, my main number one on our target list to follow and look for was Mr. McGuinness.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
there's some stories in there of that chapter that...
I bet.
I won't say on the radio.
No.
Might did frighten you, the kids.
Did you see some atrocities out there then?
No.
No?
No. Oh, but it's interesting.
Oh, good. All right. That's, yeah. We've got to give people a taster. That's
yeah,
it.
Just absolutely.
So you left the Special Forces, yeah. What, early 90s, mid-90s?
No, I came straight out.
Oh, straight out.
Only because the Marines, in their infinite wisdom...
Wanted you back?
They wanted me back, but because they're so... I don't know, the jealousy. The sergeant major that gave me my next draft was a right. failed operator.
Right.
I tried my course and failed it.
Ooh.
Because 1,500 started my course.
Yeah.
On paper.
Wow.
And 8 passed. Right. He failed it.
Yeah.
He decided to send me back to Derry in uniform.
Wow.
Which would
that's not a nice thing to do.
Death certificate.
So yeah, of course.
Then I forced myself onto a building site.
Yeah.
Lived in a caravan for 2 years.
Right.
From there, I became a bodyguard in London.
Yeah.
For Prince Bandar, Saudi Arabian ambassador.
I tell you what, hold that thought.
Yep.
My guest in the studio today is the lovely Martin Edwards. We've been talking about his career. He's got a book coming out. Is it coming out or is it out?
It's out mid-November, The Ultimate Survivor.
The Ultimate Survivor. It's basically the story of his life in the Marines and Special Forces and his struggles with mental health. All proceeds of the book are going to what charities?
Ministry of Mental Health.
Yeah.
And Vulnerable Children.
There you go. So go and buy the book. Do your bit for these wonderful charities as well. Now, we were just talking about you'd left the army.
Yep.
And you were doing a bit of private security work.
Yep.
So let's take it from there then.
Right.
So you were you got on a building site and then you left that.
I went on the building site first for 2 years.
Yeah.
Lived in the caravan.
Yeah.
4 jobs. Painting, decorating.
Nice.
Serving petrol.
Yeah.
And labouring.
Yeah. We do what you can.
My wife was doing 3.
Wow.
And then we sold the caravan and moved to London.
Yeah.
And I became a bodyguard for a Saudi prince.
That's right. That's where we got up to.
Ambassador. Yep. Lived in an attic while Teresa lived in a sister's house in Exmouth.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm leaning back on this now. I slept in the attic in the office in Sloane Square.
Right.
And walked over every morning to the Grosvenor, where he was staying. His wife stayed in the Dorchester because he wanted to play in the Grosvenor.
Yeah.
And they keep themselves separate anyway.
Yeah.
We looked after him and his one daughter. And from there, I moved to a jeweller's shop called Bonds, owned
yeah.
by Sean Connery.
And smashing.
Sorry?
Smashing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was a nice bloke.
He actually seems a nice bloke.
He really is. And
I met George Lazenby, he wasn't. He was a bit happy.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a family from Hyderabad who came out of there
yeah.
with a plane full of gems.
Wow.
And together with a very, very good goldsmith called Andrew Clun, they formed Bonds.
Right.
And I was there for about a year, year and a half. There's a very nice story there about me going to Paris.
Ooh.
With about £3 million worth of cornflower blue sapphires.
Wow.
Yeah, but they weren't probably legal.
No.
So,
and who's gonna stop you? Let's face it.
That's for the book.
Yeah.
That's for the
book. Who's gonna stop you?
But he drove me in his Ferrari.
Did he?
To the airport.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Nice.
That's when I learned that adrenaline was brown.
You would do if you're going to the airport in a Ferrari. Yeah.
Back streets. Yeah. I worried when he sat for 20 minutes. He said, I just wanted to warm up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. But anyway, he's Mehmet Bergen. He was a CIA getaway driver.
Wow.
Yeah,
he knew how to handle a Ferrari then.
Yeah.
That's in the book, that is.
It's all in the book.
And had you started your company up by then, or were you just working for yourself?
I went from there, and a friend of mine from Special Forces worked undercover with me, rang me up for a job in Washington.
Right.
No, sorry, I didn't. No. I went to the Middle East next.
Right.
To train their Special Police Force in anti-hijacking terrorists.
Right, okay.
For about 6 months.
Did you ever need that training?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the only problem being was, as we were about to leave, they said, you've got to reenact the Iranian embassy siege.
Were you there?
Because the... No. If everyone was there that said they were there, that balcony would be as big as Wembley Pitch. No, I was not there.
It'd be like the royal family coming out the wave after a wedding.
It would. But my major took us on this course, five of us, he told them I was. So I had to think, shit, I'll do it.
Can you drop an S-bomb
I did.
We apologise if anybody heard something they shouldn't have, but don't worry. Do not worry.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
So we did it.
Oh, wow.
I had the 7 sheikhs from the Emirates. I can't remember, 6 or 7. In armchairs. My wife was flown out. Which has never happened before.
He had to reenact it.
Her first flight abroad, out there.
Yeah.
And
you met her in Ireland?
No, in Scotland.
Scotland.
Yeah, when I was in 4 or 5.
See,
I knew her for about six weeks.
So you met your wife in England, and she'd never been out of the country.
No. Nope.
Apart, did she go over to Ireland?
No. That was
something.
She didn't know where.
Because it was special. Right. I'm with you now. I'm with you now.
Any correspondence was vetted.
Yeah.
And read before it came to me.
Wow.
And phone calls were on a secure line.
Right. Okay. I'm with you now. So she really hadn't left the country.
No.
Okay. So the
she
first
came
time
out of there.
First time she flew out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
She arrived at the airport.
Yeah.
I went to give her a hug, or she came to give me a hug, and all you heard was about 7 rifles going, ch-ch, because it's illegal, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
In public. But I was a captain there with quite a big revolver, so...
Yeah.
I do mean gun. So I was all right.
Oh, very funny. So
we did them. And I've actually got a gold Longines.
Yeah.
With the Royal Crest on a present.
Nice.
It was on television over there, and I just somehow managed to use some thunder flashes.
Yeah.
A dummy covered in tomato sauce, threw it off the balcony into the Sheikh's lap. Helicopter with a ladder. And these boys are really...
And they lapped it up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was complete bull.
Did you not go
without
into...
the S word.
Did you not go into any acting after that?
No. Absolutely not.
So
I left there.
You left there, yeah.
We were supposed to get all the Emirates.
Yeah.
Then they found out I wasn't a real officer.
Oh, right.
And that was a no-no.
Oh.
So if we came and did... At that time, we were going to get 15,000, a Range Rover, and all our accommodation and food.
Wow.
As a sergeant, which is what they bring us up on, it was half that, Range Rover, no food. So we said no.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I was out of work.
Yeah.
Went to sign on the dole, got offered £72 for 8 weeks. So it was 2 words to them, and it wasn't Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
See, I'm learning.
You are, and you're doing very well.
And then I got offered a job in Uganda. In Washington.
Yeah.
And trees was ironing, and I got a phone call, and it was Blue.
Yeah.
He was undercover with me. He said, I've got a job for you, mate. Someone you've worked with before, Prince Panda.
Lovely.
I said, yeah, where is it? He said, Washington. I said, when do you want me? He said, tomorrow. Because it was the AWAC deal.
Yeah.
They were doing the surveillance planes.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Private jet out there?
Reagan was trying to get it for Panda.
Yeah.
For the Arabs.
Right.
Of course, the others in America that are of a Jewish origin
didn't
want it. So he became a target.
Right.
So he wanted to bolster up his bodyguards.
Yeah.
So I said, Trish, I've got a job, love. Oh, great, fantastic. When? I said, tomorrow. Where? Washington.
Did they fly you out or did you have to get a ticket?
First class.
No, but it was easier back then just to get a plane the same day and fly out.
Oh, yeah.
Concorde was still around then, wasn't it?
Well, we did do that once with him.
Right.
Yeah.
You've been on Concorde?
Not very comfortable.
No?
No, not at all.
Is it like getting on
Bucket
a...
seat.
Yeah, it's probably the equivalent of Concorde these days. But without the speed, he's getting on a Ryanair plane.
Yeah.
Because they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah, we got went over there. We had to go to Alabama.
Yeah.
To get... Yeah, the friend who was the chief of police.
Did ling, ding, 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 ding.
Yes, exactly. we had a ID card, thumbprint, and shield.
Yeah.
To swear us in as deputies, because without that, you cannot carry a concealed weapon in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
So that's what we had to do.
Deputy police or deputy marshals?
Officers.
Officers.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I still use it now. Freeze! I do. All the kids that come to our house, freeze in my class. Anyway.
I had a friend who had a similar badge. Every time we drove past an idiot driver, he used to hold it out the window and go, pull over, and then drive off.
We had great fun in Washington.
Oh, I bet you did.
I spoke to Reagan on the phone.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not going to tell you any more about that.
No, that's in the book.
That's in the book.
Yeah. Cupcakes, crumbly candy bars. It's lovely to speak to you, whoever you are.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a very nice cupcake. Yeah. Band had stormed out the White House.
Oh, wow. Have you seen my Bobo? So you then start up your own company.
Nope.
Go on then.
I went to Uganda.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Not the smartest move I've ever made.
On the wrong side?
But... Yes.
So that's
right
in the
side at the time.
Yeah. But then it all switched.
Halfway through, Museveni actually did the coup. And I was on the wrong side. And High Commission decided we weren't authorised and we were then classed as mercenaries.
Oh, dear.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, look, that happened quite a bit out there, didn't it?
So we ran.
I bet you did.
Went across country.
Yeah.
Across an illegal crossing place.
Yeah.
So I've got I had a passport with an entry into Uganda and no exit. Which caused me all sorts of problems when I came out and did other trips abroad.
Oh, I bet it did.
Yeah.
I bet it did.
But that's quite an exciting part, which, again,
is we'll
leave for the book.
Yeah. Then you came back and you started your own company.
I did some contract work first.
Yeah.
And then 99, I started the company up.
Wow. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yep. I have to say, what I've always tried to do is look after people.
Yeah.
And be nice to people.
Yeah.
And all the way through my security career, I've always done a good job and not done anyone down whilst getting there.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers. You've
not trodden on anybody.
No.
You've done it all off your own back.
So when I started on my own, the clients I used to work for came back to me as my company.
Yeah.
And the company was built on old clients. And then it got better and better.
Because you had that nice reputation.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's good. And it just built up from there.
While I was in the company, I volunteered for 10 years at a special needs school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For one day a week.
Doing...
teaching assistant.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it was the best time of my life.
Oh.
And we organised an opera called Speak Out at the Queen's Theatre.
Lovely.
I had 108 kids on the stage.
They, you know, those guys can be really talented.
Mate, Big Martin, they called me. I should be covered in a pyramid of them. But it just, it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
And I think when you start, you feel sorry. You feel sorry they're in their predicament. But once you've finished, you're just so happy that they can do, achieve what they can achieve.
With your help.
However small, however big.
Yeah, with the help of the school, with your help, with
absolutely.
Teachers.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
it was just the most fantastic place to work.
And these days, a lot more of those kind of kids are finding their place in the world.
Absolutely.
Instead of being just shoved in a corner and go, well, you know, you don't fit in, stay over there.
Yeah.
And that's not right. They're inclusive.
When I started the company up, I actually employed a little girl called Evie.
Yeah.
Who had a -8 syndrome chromosome. Very, quite rare.
Yeah.
And I employed her for 6 months. And then we met her. She had a function. We surprised her because she's made ambassador for this chromosome disease.
Oh, wow.
And we surprised her. I brought my family, my wife, my kids, all there.
Oh, lovely.
At the table.
Yeah.
And she measures the company. She says, I can't drink too much because I'm working at the pub tomorrow. I said, really? Why? She said, well, I'm still on probation. I said, since when? She said, well, I'm on probation. I said, you're not now. She said, well, you're not my boss. I said, I own the company. She said, no, Tony Wood's my boss, who's my managing director.
Yeah.
And he hasn't said I've finished my probation. I said, well, I'm telling you, you have. I'm going to have to check with Tony first. She's still working. When I sold the company,
yeah.
I said to them, I want her to stay. I'd have paid
yeah.
for her next 5 years' salary. She blossomed. She'd skydiving.
Oh,
she'd learned to drive, you know.
Yeah.
And she was an asset. I'm not saying I wasn't being sorry for her.
No.
She was brilliant.
Well, if she grows with the company,
yeah,
then
absolutely.
Yeah, that.
And I think she's still there now.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Sort of 5-7 years on.
And that's not in the book.
Yes, it is.
That's in the book.
It's in the book.
Awesome. It sounds like a really.
Well, I don't want it to sound too nasty, so I'm putting some nice bits in. Because there are some nasty
I've
bits.
Told everybody.
Some very nasty bits in the book.
I've told everybody.
It's
you've
a
got a good
show,
heart. Yeah. Oh. I've told everybody you've
so
got a good heart.
I can't mention. No, I can't.
No. Okay. Despite things that have happened to you,
yeah.
things that we've talked about off air, things that are in the book and the effing and jeffing that's in the book, despite all that, the underlining factor is you are a lovely man with a good heart and you've
yep.
become an entrepreneur. And you're using your hard-earned money, your self-made money,
yep.
to help others, which makes you yeah. a wonderful human being.
We've sponsored two businesses.
And there you go.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you've turned everything around. Everything.
Abusers do not abuse.
No.
That's a fallacy.
But you've turned
yep.
everything around. And
yeah.
you know what they say? There is that old saying, what starts off bad
yeah.
ends up good.
Yeah.
And you are the prime example of that.
Thank you very much.
I think. And the book is well worth a read. It's called The
Ultimate Survivor.
Ultimate Survivor. Available from November?
Mid-November. And it's by Scratching Sheds Publishers.
Lovely. Is it going to be hardback?
I don't know. It will be hardback to come out with.
Digital?
Yeah. Not sure.
Okay.
I don't do digital.
No, but a lot of people do.
I know they do.
They read them on their Kindles and...
Waterstones. Yeah. Buy a book.
Yes.
Smell it, feel it, read it. Turn the pages down.
The drummer in my band gave me an autobiography of a guy called Clem Cattini. He's a drummer.
Right.
Used to be with the Tornadoes. Back in the Joe Meek days. And he said, I've got this book for you to read. And I looked at it and I think, what do I do with that?
Yeah. I love it. I love books.
In fact, do you remember The Bill?
Yes.
The guy called Graham Cole, he played PC Stamp, the driver.
Yes.
Yeah. Lovely man.
Tony.
Yeah. Tony Stamp, the driver. Lovely man. He's got a book out. He had a book
all
out
right.
and he put it up on Facebook. And I know him from one way or another. I sent him a message saying, dear Graham, could you please phone me up and read the book to me if I give you my number? Because I don't do reading books. I only do audio books. And if it's not available in an audio book, could you just read it to me? He didn't get the joke.
Yeah. A lot of people do audio books.
Oh, yeah. That is definitely the way to go. Because it just opens your book up to a lot yeah. more people as well. I mean, I'd be happy driving along listening to an audio book sometimes because there is, apart from Phoenix FM, there's not much to listen to on the radio, in my opinion.
Absolutely not. Smooth.
Shush. Listen, Marty, but thank
before,
you.
Before any, can I just get 1.0?
Go on.
Or two, actually.
More than welcome to.
One of the reasons for opening this book out to my life, instead of just the military dramatic stuff,
yeah,
is that anyone that's suffering, whatever age,
yeah,
if they read it, it might well tell them, it might well give them hope that nothing's that bad to end it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And obviously,
the people that don't suffer, try saying something nice to somebody.
Yes.
Because that could save a life.
Without
say
a doubt.
Something nasty and you don't know they're suffering.
No.
Could end one.
Yeah.
And that is...
I know exactly what you're saying.
Little trigger.
Yeah.
Can go either way.
Exactly what you're saying. You're saying something nasty to someone, it's tantamount to bullying.
Yeah.
If they're on their lowest edge,
that can tip them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, with this book, hopefully it will help people.
I sincerely hope so.
It will guide people.
Yeah.
And it will hopefully teach people.
I wouldn't say do anything like me.
No.
But
it will teach.
No, there's always hope.
Teach people not to judge, pardon the pun, not to judge a book by its cover.
And I don't want to go heavy on the mental health at all. I have a lovely life.
Yeah.
I struggle sometimes, but I'm happy most of the time.
And that's good now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you like sweets.
I love sweets.
But you wouldn't have any in the studio?
No.
Little more for me.
I've got loads in the car.
Martin, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Thanks for talking to me. Good luck with the book.
Yep.
And hopefully you can come back anytime. You can.
One last thing.
Go on.
If you don't buy the book, I know where you live.
I stop saying.
Yeah, I do something similar. If you don't buy our record, I'm going to move in next to you and sing. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. Check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.